debt. It keeps you tossing and turning at night. You can't get away from it. But the truth is, the system is designed to trap you in debt. Insanely high interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. There's a new way out of the debt trap, Pivotal Debt Solutions. Pivotal Debt Solutions isn't like the old school debt relief companies that string your debt out for years. They have aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Pivotal Debt Solutions can cut or even eliminate interest. Find programs to write off your balances so you owe less. Stop those threatening phone calls, and without bankruptcy and without a loan. Bottom line, they find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Pivotal Debt Solutions first. Talk to them for free. Find out how fast they can help you get out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com. Zapmydebt.com.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And we've got a lot to talk about today. I've got a couple of stories that I just want to pop up in front of you and discuss. This is kind of all over the news, but I just wanted to fill you in if you're not familiar with it. Kevin McCarthy got busted for the big lie. A new book won't be out until, you know, a week or two from now, but they, on Rachel Maddow's show on MSNBC, they released the tapes. And this is Kevin McCarthy talking to Liz Cheney and other Republicans right after January 6th, in which McCarthy says he's going to go to Trump and ask him to resign. He's going to play the role that Barry Goldwater played with Richard Nixon. And then, of course, instead, he goes down to Mar-a-Lago and, you know, asks Trump to bend over so he can kiss his ass, which he's been doing all along. And now it's being reported that after that blockbuster, that Kevin McCarthy called Donald Trump down at Mar-a-Lago, and Trump said, "Don't worry, Kevin, you're on my side now. As long as you keep sucking up to me, it's all good. You know, you said what you said in the heat of the moment, but hey, you're on my side now, so let's just keep going." Or words to that effect. Which, by the way, Kevin McCarthy's not the first. I mean, there's a whole long list of Republicans who, after January 6th, came out and said Trump has, you know, stepped over the line. And now they're like, "Oh, we love Trump. Yes, we love Trump. Please vote us in." So, you know, that's what's going on. And also, Marjorie Taylor Greene is in court right now. They're arguing that she should not be able to run for re-election because she participated in and encouraged an insurrection against the United States. This is not just about Marjorie Taylor Greene. If this court rules against her, there's 146 other Republicans that they might want to look at in Congress. And also, the Republican Party's newfound concern for the children doesn't, for some reason, include saving kids from the number one thing that is killing them in the United States. Honest to God, we are the only country in the world that has this problem. I'll tell you all about that in just a moment. And also, some very good news. California briefly ran on 97% renewable energy. Hope! We'll tell you about that, too, in this hour. Also, Dr. Marty Goldstein is going to be our one guest for the day. And he's going to tell us about the spirit of animal healing. This guy does amazing stuff with animals, particularly dogs. But I got to tell you about that. Also, well, Democrats, what have you done for us lately? I've got a list. And I think you're going to love it. And also, why the hell isn't Jared Kushner's $2 billion payoff from the Saudis a bigger deal? Remember Billygate? When Billy Carter took a couple hundred thousand bucks from Muammar Gaddafi for consulting on how Libya should approach the United States. I've got to tell you about that, too. Probably most of you are not old enough to remember it, and or if you are, you don't remember it because it just kind of passed after a few weeks. But, you know, the Republicans tried to keep it alive as a scandal for quite a while, but, you know, we're unsuccessful. But anyhow, for a reason that I will disclose to you at great length, but I want to start out with today's rant, or Daily Take, as we've now renamed it. It's published over at HartmanReport.com, ad-free, no cost. And the headline is, the GOP's newfound concern for the children doesn't save kids from their number one killer, guns. Seriously. This was just reported in Forbes magazine, which is how I first discovered this. It was actually, they were reporting on a story that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. And this is what Nina Shapiro over at Forbes magazine wrote, kind of summarizing the New England Journal of Medicine study. Quote, access to firearms by children, by unlicensed owners, and absence of safety measures when it comes to both intentional and unintentional gun-related injuries and deaths are among the reasons that the incidence of this horrific, truly avoidable tragedy is on the rise. So, you know, we've got this incredible con job going on from the Republicans right now. We're all worried about the children. We want to make sure that, you know, if there's a child in a bathroom, a trans person doesn't come in and scare them. Or we're all worried that white children will feel badly if they learn that hundreds of years ago, white people enslaved black people and treated them badly. Or they're continuing to treat them badly, for that matter. They also say that, you know, it's really important to lock up women who have and threaten them with prison for life if they have a miscarriage that Republicans suspect might have been a self-induced abortion. We just saw this last week in Texas. This woman was charged with murder and was facing life in prison for having a miscarriage. And finally, she was able to prove, hey, it was a miscarriage. But get ready. There's a lot more of that coming. Oh, we're protecting the children. Right. And they're happily jumping on this 2022 GOP version of the old, you know, Russian czar's protocols of the Elders of Zion blood libel, claiming that their political opponents are grooming children. And they're enthusiastically embracing this QAnon slogan, save the children, until you mention children being killed by guns. Or until you mention Republicans grooming their own children to become mass shooters. Yes, this is actually a thing. You know, 20 years ago, the leading cause of death among children in the United States was car accidents. You go back 100 years, you know, there were a bunch of childhood diseases that were pretty deadly. Those got pretty much wiped out in the 1950s and 60s by vaccinations. And since the 60s, the number one killer of children has been accidents, and the main accident that has killed children has been car accidents. Until now. Seriously. By the way, by children, I'm identifying people from 1 year old to 24 years old. So it's children and young people. Throughout, you know, most of this century, you had, you know, fewer than 7 gun deaths per 100,000 young people in America. This year, it was 11 out of 100,000. It's the highest it's ever been. Car accidents, only 8 per 100,000. And most of those child gun deaths were entirely preventable if we'd simply had safe guns. And I say safe guns and people say, what? What are you talking about? Well, let me share a couple things with you here. There's a company called Safe Gun Technology. They developed a fingerprint reader that's built right into the grip of the gun, the handgun and rifle, and it prevents the weapon from being fired by anyone except someone whose fingerprint it recognizes. They can even retrofit this onto existing weapons, number one. Number two, another company, IntelliGun, has a similar fingerprint reading product and is working with the U.S. Army's Armament Research Development Engineering Center to come up with a stock that instead of recognizing fingerprints, which, you know, if you're in like a time of war, your fingerprint can get covered with grease and dirt, that instead measures how you grab the gun, which is actually a unique biometric thing. There's also RFID, radio frequency ID, recognition. These are guns that will not fire unless a person is wearing a ring or a watch that has a chip in it that the gun recognizes. Now, these are all for sale in Europe. They're all for sale all over the world, these kinds of safe guns. You can't buy them in the United States. Forbes magazine did a story about this. They interviewed a guy named Doug who started and ran a website. It was called smartguns.com. It's now out of business. And he was selling the RFID with a watch guns here in the United States. But he refused to give his last name to Forbes, or he refused to give them permission to publish his last name. Excuse me, Fortune magazine. I said Forbes, I meant Fortune. As Fortune wrote, quote, "And that's why Doug has to be so hush-hush. If his last name were made public, people would try to put him out of business and threaten to kill him. That's what happened to the last two gun dealers who tried to sell this gun in the United States." The gun industry in the United States has pretty much absolute immunity against lawsuits for creating a product that kills people when a safe product could be created. This is why the Sandy Hook parents had to sue Remington for their advertising, which they did, by the way, successfully for $73 million, because they couldn't sue them for their guns. I mean, we dealt with this with cars back in the early 20th century when cars started killing people. You've heard this rant a million times on this program. Registration, licensure, and liability insurance. And San Jose now, the city of San Jose, has adopted liability insurance for guns, you know, which is just absolutely great. But that's it in the whole country. As the New England Journal of Medicine noted on Tuesday of this week, quote, "Although substantial federal funding has been devoted to research on motor vehicle crashes, the firearm industry and gun rights organizations led by the NRA have been effective at keeping federal dollars from financing firearm-related research. Even this year, Republicans continue to put the Dickey Amendment in every single major omnibus piece of legislation. The Dickey Amendment forbids federal money being spent researching gun shootings. Meanwhile, there's this pandemic of right-wing politicians like Thomas Massie from Kentucky tweeting out pictures of their own kids holding assault weapons. They're grooming their children to be mass murderers. And by example, they're grooming other children who are seeing these pictures to become school shooters. We are literally the only country in the world that has more guns per people. The average in the world is that for every 100 civilians, there are 9.8 guns. That's the average of the world. The next highest country to us is Yemen. They have 52 guns for every 100 people. Here in the United States, for every 100 Americans, there are 120 guns. Even Afghanistan and Iraq average 20 guns per 100 people. I mean, we've got a serious problem here. And now the NRA, still flush with all that money that Russia gave them, has succeeded in lobbying 25 states. Three more states just in the last month or so have said, any idiot, no background check, no training, no nothing, any idiot can carry a concealed weapon in our state. Don't you feel safer already? The Republican Party is all about the children. We've got to save the children from critical race theory. We've got to save the children from trans people. But save the children from the actual thing that is killing more children than any other thing in the United States. And we are the only country in the world with this problem. Saving the children from guns? No, crickets. If anything, as I said, Republican politicians are grooming the children to be mass shooters. And guess what? We're getting mass school shootings again in the United States. Surprise, surprise. We have to shame Republicans enough that they stop taking money from and embracing this death-dealing industry. I get it. You know, they're bought off by pharma, and so they want to keep drug prices high for Medicare. They're bought off by the fossil fuel industry so they deny climate change. This is blood in our streets, the leading cause of death among children. And Republicans not only refuse to do anything about it, they are actively working to make the situation worse. What do you think can be done? If you haven't been paying attention to what's going on with Marjorie Taylor Greene, it is fascinating, and it goes way beyond just her. The 14th Amendment has a provision, I believe it's Article 3, that says that the actual language is any person who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress to support the Constitution of the United States, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, is basically disqualified from holding public office. And, you know, the allegation against Marjorie Taylor Greene is that that's exactly what she did. And she's having to testify under oath. And Judge Amy Totenberg put together this 73-page ruling that just took apart Greene's argument. And Greene says in her lawsuit that, quote, "I vigorously deny that I aided and engaged in insurrection to obstruct the peaceful transfer of presidential power." And the judge, Judge Totenberg, said, and I quote, "Lordy, there are tapes." Here's why this is important. It's really not about her. It's really about whether the 14th Amendment still can bite, whether it still has legal force. And here's the thing. If the judge rules against Greene, and then that gets upheld on appeal, which will, you know, there's a two more levels of question here of, you know, federal appeal court and then the U.S. Supreme Court. But if it gets upheld on appeal, that means that quite a few Republican members of Congress may no longer be able to run for Congress. And not just members of Congress, including Donald Trump. I mean, this could apply to him as easily as to anybody else. So this is not a small issue. Keep an eye on this one. I think you're going to find it fascinating.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Hey, two quick stories that I wanted to share with you. It'll just take a second, and then I'll pick up your phone calls. So if you're on hold, just hang on. I'll get to you. The first is that the majority of Americans, they just did a survey. The Associated Press, NORC Center for Public Affairs Research, just did a survey of Americans saying, if you're going to fly, would you prefer that everybody on the plane was wearing a mask? 56% of Americans said, yes, we would prefer a requirement that everybody be masked, compared to only 24% opposed. Not quite how the news has been spinning it, which is kind of weird. Among Democrats, it was 80% in favor, 5% opposed. Among Republicans, it was 33% in favor, 45% opposed. So, you know, getting rid of masks on airplanes, pretty much a Republican thing. I called one of the airlines. I'm a million-miler kind of person with two airlines, United and Delta, and I tried to call one of them this morning to say, you know, if you're collecting votes, I just wanted to tell you that I'm not going to get on an airplane until either this pandemic is over or you go back to mask policies, or at least mask half the plane, like with the old smoking sections. But, you know, I got them put on hold. So anyhow, the other story that I wanted to share with you, this is really like good news, science news, good geeky science news. On April 3rd, this was what, about 2 weeks ago, April 3rd at 3:39 p.m., 97% of all the energy used in California came from, or all the electric energy used in California came from renewable sources. 97%. Now, it only lasted for a few minutes, but right now, California gets 60% of its electricity from low-carbon, non-fossil fuel sources. But for that few moments, they were almost at 100%. They are ahead of their green energy goals. Gavin Newsom doing a great job, and the legislature. This is not the world that Vladimir Putin wants us to have. He wants us all to remain addicted to fossil fuels, while also the fossil fuel industry in the United States. A third of the state's electricity is generated by wind and solar, about 17% by large hydro, 10% comes from nukes. Battery backup, at the beginning of this year, they had 2.1 gigawatts, that's a billion watts. That's an eightfold increase over 2019. And they got all these projects in the work. There's 25 climate bills in the state legislature right now, helping fossil fuel workers transition to other jobs, helping bury electrical wires, which cause wildfires, new high-density transmission lines, develop geothermal, battery, and hydrogen power to work as baseline energy when the sun is not shining or the wind is not blowing. Other bills to cut permitting and paperwork burden and provide ways for low-income families to get solar on their homes. So a lot of really cool stuff happening. Tony in St. Louis. Hey, Tony, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Good, great show.
Thank you.
We really need to get money out of politics.
Yeah.
And the Democrats, if they're really serious about making things better, they need to start doing it while they got control of the House.
Well, to a large extent, if you're a member of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, you've got to change the way that you do fundraising. So, about 100 members of Congress are, by and large, walking the walk. It's not 100% perfect, but they're taking steps.
It just shouldn't cost millions of dollars to run for a job that only pays $100,000 or $200,000. It's obscene.
I'm with you.
But the main reason I called, though, I was talking about that RFID. If I remember right, I think it was Colt or something that was trying to put it on guns, and
I don't know if it was Colt.
Was raising a big. Well, that's what I thought it was.
There's two companies that make them. The one company is, if I'm remembering this correctly, one company is based in Germany and the other is in Switzerland, maybe Austria.
Well, to me,
but there's two guns out there that require you to either wear a watch or a ring with an RFID chip in it, or when you pick up the gun, it won't fire.
Well, and that's it. They're worried that, it might not fire if you have it in your hand. Well, you know what? This goes to show, though, how far they want to go to tell you what you shouldn't do. If I choose it's safer in my house to have a gun like that, and if I want to take the risk of it not going off, or at least if someone grabs it from me, they can't shoot me with my own gun. But to me, I just think it's ridiculous. Once again, they want to tell you what you should and shouldn't have. They're the party of getting government out of your lives.
Well, and every gun seller, every gun retailer that has tried to import these guns from Europe into the United States and sell them has been met with death threats to the point that they gave up.
Well,
it's bizarre.
And I think that's all. There's where we need to make some changes somewhere. I just don't get how they could have that authority.
Yeah.
What are they? I guess they're afraid that the government's going to say every gun has to have it, just like every car has to have seatbelts and all the
they see it as part of a slippery slope, but how would it hurt us if every gun did have that?
Thanks for the call.
Mark in San Clemente. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, how you doing? I just wanted to comment on these kids and the babies. They're denying women's rights to their own body, but the Republican Party wants a large pool of applicants for the military. I taught in a school that was all low-income, poverty community, and I'd say 90% of those kids got out of high school and went into the military. And then the problems they had in Afghanistan when they showed up over there, and they were having graffiti, gang graffiti, and stuff like that. That is a problem, and that's where they're going to get killed, in the field of battle.
Right.
And not only unless they get shot in school,
the more kids have been killed and more young people have been killed in school shootings in the last 15, 20 years than have been killed in all of our overseas wars. I don't have the exact numbers at my fingertips, but I do recall, in the context of, the Russian casualties in Ukraine, somebody saying that the total casualty number of American soldiers who have died in Afghanistan and Iraq over a 20-year period was, as I recall, in the neighborhood of around 8,000. And I would be astonished if fewer than 8,000 children have been killed in our schools over the same period, that same 20-year period. I don't have the numbers at my fingertips. I might be wrong on this. Don't quote me. Look it up. But, whether Republicans are championing anti-abortion laws because they want more, you know, cannon fodder or not, I'm skeptical of that, Mark. I understand your argument. But
I know is that Brett Kavanaugh didn't go, and neither did Donald Trump, even though he went to military school where he learned to be a bigger bully than he already was.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, in my era, you know, by the time I got old enough to go to Vietnam, there was a lottery and I had a really high number, so I didn't get called. Yeah. Other than that, the people that got busted for pot use and stuff were being forced into the military as an option of going to jail.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, cannon fodder is a big part of it. They got to have people out there, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. And by the way,
the military trains them and educates them. But
no, I get all that. I think it's more, community. You know, the whole Catholic thing is, you know, we need to outnumber our opposition, you know, and I'm talking about over the last 2000 years. And I think that among white people, these, you know, white supremacists who are constantly talking about, you know, abortion laws and quack, quack, quack. Really what they're saying is they're freaked out that the number of white people is diminishing. And if you read their message boards, they just come right out and say that. By the way, Donald Trump did not go to a military academy. He went to a military-themed private prep school. It was not associated with the U.S. military at all. They did wear uniforms. They did do drills and things like that. But it was really all performance, which makes sense. It was the Trump family, after all. He didn't actually go to a military academy. Tom Hartman here with you. So what have Democrats done for us recently? Well, last year, now I want to put this in context. The United States has been around since arguably 1776, definitely since 1789 when the modern Constitution was ratified and signed. 240 years, more or less. And during that entire period of time, multiple wars, depressions, recessions, all kinds of events have happened. We have never created 6.4 million jobs in 1 year. We have never done that until now. Joe Biden did that last year. The unemployment rate went from 6.2% under Donald Trump to 3.9%. That's another new record. And by the way, it's the sharpest, again, all the way back to the George Washington administration. This is the sharpest, well, we haven't been keeping statistics all that long, but this is the sharpest drop in unemployment in the history of America, or at least in the recorded history of America. Before the rescue plan, which Joe Biden pushed through at the beginning of last year, we were on track to have unemployment. If everything went right and everything was great and if Delta had never surged and, you know, if all this stuff, we were on track to have a 4% unemployment rate right up until 2026. That's what the Fed was predicting. And here we are, not all the way through 2026, by 2026. In other words, it was going to take us four more years to get to a 4% unemployment rate. We've already beat it. It's a big deal. The Democrats held strong on that COVID relief bill. They made it happen. And as a consequence of that, the poorest of 20% of Americans are estimated to see a 20% boost in their income from Biden's relief plan, particularly due to the stimulus payments. And the richest 1%, less than 1% of the benefits. Biden strengthened unions. He restored collective bargaining power and worker protections by revoking Trump's executive orders. Most people don't even know Trump had executive orders to make it harder for people to join unions. Biden reversed those. He eliminated this so-called Schedule F worker. This was a class of workers that Donald Trump brought into being with an executive order that basically said that federal service, civil service employees could not join unions. They were Schedule F employees. Biden did away with it. Trump, there's this extraordinarily powerful, it's called the Federal Reserve Impasses Panel. This is the panel that makes essentially the final decisions on how labor disputes get resolved. All 10 of its members were put there by Donald Trump, and they were all anti-union people. Joe Biden fired all 8 of them, all 10 of them, excuse me, 8 of them resigned before they could be fired. I mean, he announced he was going to do it. 2 of them he had to fire because they refused to leave. And now we've got, you know, a pro-labor institution within the federal government. Biden and the Democrats saved the pensions of over 1 million unionized workers. There were 185 union pension plans that were on the verge of crashing because of changes to the law over the years and because the unions themselves had been shrinking as the result of 40 years of Reaganomics. And so now over 1 million retired truck drivers, retail clerks, builders, and others will have a retirement pension that they would not have had Joe Biden not done this. He ordered all federal contractors to pay their workers a $15 minimum wage. Remember this one, Bernie? This was, back in 2016 when Bernie was in the primary against Hillary. And he went into one of the federal gift shops. He came on this program and talked about it. He went into a federal gift shop, you know, the gift stores that they have, like at the Smithsonian, and wanted to buy a little knickknack to give to, you know, one of his relatives. And he asked the person who was working there, how much do you make? And the person was like, oh, yeah, I make $8 an hour. Or maybe it was $9. It was very little. And Bernie was like, you're a federal employee. How can you make so little? And they're like, no, I'm not a federal employee. The federal government contracts with the company that hires me. And the company that hires me charges the federal government $15 an hour for my work, but they only pay me $9 an hour, whatever the amounts were. You can go back and listen to that clip with Bernie from the day. And so Bernie came on the floor of the Senate and he said, I just had this experience that he had just described on our show. He said, I just had this experience and we've got to create a minimum wage of $15 for not only federal employees, but federal contractors. Well, Joe Biden did it. Right across the board, he ordered the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the Department of Veterans Affairs, the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, the Federal Housing Finance Agency. In every case, he said, you guys have to stop stop evictions and foreclosures, and anybody who is working for you and any of the other federal agencies, even if they're contractors, you have to pay them $15 an hour. He protected people from foreclosure and eviction. He reduced the number of hungry Americans. Food stamp recipients saw their payments go up. Benefits jumped 27% as a result of things that the Biden administration did and Democrats. More than 1 in 10 households before this were reporting that they didn't have enough food at the end of the month. The campaign has increased food stamps by more than $1 billion a month, providing needy children $1 a day for snacks, expanding a produce allowance for pregnant women and children, authorized the largest children's summer feeding program in history. Hey, who really cares about the children? It's the Democrats. Biden's keeping people's homes warm in the winter. He expanded the low-income home energy assistance program. The real GDP has increased 7.8% over the last 12 months. That's the biggest boom that we've had in decades, in generations. The Federal Reserve is expecting real growth to be 5.9% this year. Good stuff is going on. It's just, you know, nobody seems to know about it. So I thought I'd tell you. Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. It's accessible from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Hartman with two N's. netsuite.com/Hartman. That's netsuite.com/Hartman.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
David in San Francisco. Hey, David, what's up?
How are you, Tom? I heard as I was studying the old Mnuchin Mr. Bonesaw money, I noticed that Steve Mnuchin also got $1 billion.
Yeah, and nobody knows how much Donald Trump got. And nobody's even asking, which I find very, very weird. If the son-in-law got $2 billion, did Donald Trump get $3 billion? I mean, how much money was channeled from Saudi Arabia into one of Donald Trump's secret offshore accounts? Nobody knows.
Right, right. And so one of the bigger pictures you might look at for future shows is how do we the people, have to deal with their assets? If you remember in the history of Donald Trump, he and his dad got a lot of land in New York City by creating white flight. They created blighted zones, and then with the determination by the city that it's a blighted area, Donald Trump and his dad were able to get the land for about $1 an acre. And the idea that fear-mongering and bigotry created the white flight, which created the blighted areas, how can we the people blight his land?
I think he's doing it all by himself. I mean, who wants to live in a building that has a Trump name on it? Increasingly, they're coming down.
Well, yeah, the point is, though, we have to find some way, unless, I don't know if you're familiar with this, with George Washington at Valley Forge, but basically the reason why he was starving there was because the British had counterfeited the Continental Dollar. And so after Washington won at Valley Forge, they didn't even have bullets. They just went over there and clubbed them with their muskets. Oh. And won the battle simply without bullets, really. But the colonists, the revolutionaries, figured out that if we created our own money, a new American tenor, a new money, then we could bankrupt the British because they weren't using our money. And so this idea of Trump and his oligarchs, we still believe the type of money they're using. So we have to change out the money, come up with a new tenor.
Oh, that's an interesting theory, David. I'll leave it at that. But I think that we need to use the international banking system to figure out how much money Saudi Arabia gave to Donald Trump. This is weird. So why is this not a huge stinking deal that Jared Kushner got a $2 billion payoff from the Saudis? Steve Mnuchin got a $1 billion payoff from the Saudis. And nobody knows how much money the Saudis gave to Donald Trump, but he's acting like he's fat and happy down there in Mar-a-Lago. What's going on with this? Who's looking into this? Or for that matter, why is nobody looking into this? It seems. I mean, let me just put this in context. I remember 1980. In 1980, Jimmy Carter was still president of the United States. This was in July of 1980. He was still president. It was his last year January, up until January 20th of 81, he was still president. And he had a younger brother, Billy, who had done a bunch of things to try to monetize the fact that his brother was president. He was selling beer. Remember Billy Beer? But the thing that got him into real serious trouble was he hopped on a plane and flew over to Libya and met with Muammar Gaddafi, who wrote him a check for $200,000 in exchange for Billy coming back to the United States and saying nice things about Libya. His own brother, the President of the United States, ordered an investigation into his brother, into Billy. President Carter released a public statement saying, quote, "I do not believe it is appropriate for a close relative of the president to undertake any assignment on behalf of a foreign government," end quote. Republicans called it Billygate. President Carter came out and said, "I waive all claims of executive privilege with regard to my brother. The White House will fully cooperate in any investigation, whether it's the DOJ or whether it's Republicans in Congress." He actually issued an executive order saying that nobody who is a relative of me, Jimmy Carter, none of my relatives, may lobby or interact with U.S. government officials. He published a 92-page report, President Carter did, about everything he knew and everything the government was able to find out about President Carter's brother Billy making 200 grand from the Libyans. Everybody in America was like, whoa. I mean, this, keep in mind, he was on his way out. He would no longer be president in 7 months. This was July of 1980. He was leaving the White House in January of 81. He could have just let this ride. He could have just said, it's no big deal. Hey, it's my brother. Let him keep the money. He could have, like Donald Trump, said, well, you know, we'll ride out the clock. But no, he did the right thing because he was Jimmy Carter. He was a Democrat. He was a good man. And now we're learning. This is on April 10th, just you know, 11 days ago. The New York Times revealed that 6 months ago, Jared Kushner got a $2 billion payoff from the Saudi government, which is refusing to cooperate now with the Biden administration to lower gas prices. And Steve Mnuchin, the former Treasury Secretary, the guy that you know, in California they call him the foreclosure king because he was using robo signers illegally and threw over 10,000 Californians out of their homes during the great housing crash in 2008. That's how Mnuchin got rich, in part. He used to be with Goldman Sachs, too. He got $1 billion. So now we're discovering that Jared was the guy, the man in the middle, who brokered $110 billion sale of weapons to Saudi Arabia over the objections of Congress so that the Saudis could use this money to destroy Yemen. That it was Jared Kushner who organized a PR campaign. Mohammed bin Salman, you know, the dictator of Saudi Arabia, bragged about this. I mean, that was a minor scandal when it came out 2 years ago. Oh, yeah, we've got Jared Kushner in our back pocket. He'll do what we want. It wasn't the exact quote, but it was words to that effect. You can look it up. And Kushner ran interference for him on the murder of Khashoggi, which happened while Donald Trump was president. And it just kind of vanished, went away. And now he gets a $2 billion payoff. This is an attack on democracy. This is not just a scandal. This is an attack on democracy. It's an attempt to subvert and corrupt the American form of government. It's amazing. All righty, let's pick up your phone calls. There's so much that we've talked about here. Richard in Baltimore, Maryland. Hey, Richard, what's on your mind today?
How you doing, Tom? You got a really good show going on over there, man. You got a lot of stuff coming out.
Thanks for listening, SiriusXM. I appreciate it.
Man, I'm a black man, and I know that I can't believe how much treasonous behavior I've been seeing ever since the Trump administration came and went, man. They're still doing it. I am real afraid of the Republicans gaining power in the Congress and Senate with all of these laws, voter suppression laws. I'm afraid for my race of people. What's going to happen when the Congress and Senate gets control by the Republicans.
So, Richard, are you matching that fear with action? Are you getting all your friends registered to vote? Are you making sure that people in Maryland are, you know, ready to go?
I don't have a lot of friends, but what I do is I go on Twitter, and I tweet.
Okay, well, good on you. I mean, that's the thing. We've all got to become evangelists, whatever mechanism we have available to us. Richard, thanks for the call.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
On the line with us is Dr. Marty Goldstein. He's an integrative veterinarian specializing in both traditional and alternative therapies for animals. He's the creator of Nature's Blend, which is a dog food product, which, by the way, this is not an infomercial. We're not going to be, you know, pushing his product. He's the author of the book, The Nature of Animal Healing, the definitive holistic medicine guide to caring for your dog and cat, and also a forthcoming book, The Spirit of Animal Healing. There's an amazing movie about him that Louise watched and then said to me, you got to watch this. It's called DogDocTheFilm.com is where you'll find it. That's the link for it. His website is Dr. Marty, DrMarty.com, and his Twitter handle is Official Dr. Marty, Official Dr. Marty. Dr. Marty Goldstein, welcome to the program. It's so great to have you here with us. I'm absolutely fascinated. I was just blown away watching your movie of literally people bringing their dogs in at death's door, and you're fixing them with nutrition, with supplements, things like that. How did you get into this?
That's right, Tom. First of all, it's a pleasure being here. I love animals. I graduated Cornell Vet School in 1973. About 1 out of 10 dogs got cancer. It's always a disease of the old. Now statistics show 1 out of every 1.61 dogs in the United States will get cancer, and it's becoming a prominent disease in the young, along with other degenerative diseases. So something is wrong. There is no health care taught to veterinarians, unfortunately. And I reversed my own genetically based problems way back in the 70s by changing my diet and going on supplements, applied it to animals, and lo and behold, it worked. So that's how I got here.
It's an absolutely amazing story. Nutrition and supplements. Talk about why is cancer so widespread in dogs? And also, I mean, just, you know, more generally, I had a cat, Higgins, that I just loved. He was probably my all-time favorite pet. He was a rescue cat. He was super vicious at first. We had to lock him in a bedroom for several months because he would just viciously attack anybody. And within a year or so, we had turned him into just the friendliest, sweetest cat ever. We were feeding him cat food. This is when we were living in Washington, D.C. He died of kidney failure. The brand of cat food we were feeding him had this Chinese contaminant. I think it's called melamine.
Melamine, yes.
And it poisoned him. I mean, my cat was poisoned by his cat food. And I'm still processing that. Obviously, that is not a crisis right now. That it became, you know, there was a lot of publicity about that and it got fixed. What is the state of nutrition for animals in general in the United States? And is it different from other parts of the world?
Yeah, unfortunately, so much of the commercialized diets are scientifically based, but not biologically appropriate. When I got out of Cornell, we were feeding our dogs and cats the semi-moist food, and it was literally devoid of food. It had chemicals, coloring agents, flavor enhancers. It really didn't have any food, but it was scientifically based. And then, you know, a major aspect of the pet food industry is directly tied to the cereal industry. You know, so many of the store-bought commercialized foods are 50 to 64% processed cereal byproducts. Show me one tooth in a dog or a cat's mouth that's flat for grinding cereal. So it's not biologically appropriate. And you know the old saying, Tom, it all starts with food. I reverse my own disease processes, genetically based, by starting to eat biologically whole foods. Same thing for animals. Your cat is an obligate carnivore, and the melamine that was put in there that came over from China was to artificially raise protein levels.
Right.
You know, but how about meat? Wouldn't that raise the protein level?
Well, that's what cats are designed to eat. I mean, it's just,
absolutely.
It's like, there you go. So So for people whose pets are facing problems, I mean, I know somebody who's got a pet, a dog that is diabetic. I've known two people in the last couple of years who've had dogs die of cancer. You know, outside of high quality dog food, which I realize is your business, what should we be doing with our pets to prevent these kinds of disasters and or to respond to them?
Well, we have to look, you know, my key words is always biologically appropriate. One thing you could do is I helped start an organization way back in the late 70s called the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association, AHVMA.org. And there are so many integratively functioning veterinarians right now. That site has a listing of the integrative veterinarians around North America, you know, state by state, city by city, and what they practice. So hooking up with a veterinarian that practices integrative veterinarian is the best you could do.
So
the
there's no veterinarian
educated on what a dog or a cat should really be eating.
So there's no veterinarian equivalent to a naturopath. You know, here in Portland, naturopaths can basically practice pretty much any kind of medicine an MD can, or much of it anyway, you know, including minor surgeries and things. But is there any way to know that your vet is essentially a naturopathic vet or
yes, through this site.
Through that site. That's the way to do
if
it.
If you go online, it'll actually tell you where that veterinarian is located and the modalities of alternative therapy that they have integrated into their conventional medical practice.
Right. So
getting the best of both worlds, Tom.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Obviously, you know, feeding our dogs biologically appropriate food, as you describe, is a great start. Are there supplements that we should be thinking about giving to our pets?
Yeah, I mean, even a healthy animal, born healthy, that's young, I feel should be on supplements. You know, now they're called nutraceuticals. My definition of a supplement is a concentrated food to make up for the deficiencies we've handed down over the generations and the decades by inappropriate food chains, the destruction of so many foods by the heating process and then putting in synthetic supplements. So yes, supplements are concentrated foods that make the diet, even if it's very good food, whole again.
Right. Yeah, I feel that way about, you know, people too.
It is the same. You know, my only advantage and why I know this is right is I've literally worked on tens and tens of thousands of companion animals and reversed tens of thousands of them that had chronic degenerative non-responsive illnesses by getting them on, like you said at the beginning of the show, getting them on proper biologically appropriate food and supplementation. So it works.
Yeah. You also talk about the spiritual nature of animals. As my last question here, we're going to hit a break in a second. Let me just toss that one to you.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing what they know that we don't know that they know. They are spiritual beings, sometimes at a higher level. They know when an earthquake is going to come. They know if their guardian, their caretaker, is going to have a seizure up to 24 hours before the seizure. They are spiritual beings, and we need to work on that human-animal bond so, you know, we could learn from them, they could learn from us, and the world would be a better place because they represent the level of unconditional love for the human race.
That's brilliant. Dr. Marty Goldstein, the website drmarty.com, drmarty.com, or official drmarty on Twitter, and dogdocthefilm.com if you want to see this amazing.
And also, drmartypets.com. I have so much of my information
great
on that.
drmartypets.com. Dr. Marty Goldstein, thanks a lot.
It's a pleasure, Tom.
Great talking with you. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Our book today in the Tom Hartman Book Club is The Web of Meaning by Jeremy Lent, the subtitle Integrating Science and Traditional Wisdom to Find Our Place in the Universe. This is from Chapter 6, which is titled The Deep Purpose of Life. Aristotle was just a teenager when he arrived in Athens from Macedonia to begin his studies at Plato's famed academy. For 20 years, he absorbed everything his teacher had to impart, but much of it didn't make sense to him. Plato taught that the soul was separate from the body, but Aristotle didn't see how something could exist without a material basis. Plato taught that the tangible world was just a pale imitation of an ideal version in an eternal dimension. To Aristotle, living beings seemed to act according to their own true nature, rather than mimic some external ideal. After Plato's death, Aristotle set up a competing school in Athens, the Lyceum, where he taught his own philosophy based on his view that every living being has an intrinsic purpose, the expression of its defining essence, which he viewed as its soul. If the eye were an animal, Aristotle explained, sight would be its soul, since this is the defining essence of an eye. Everything an organism did, he believed, was done for the sake of its innate purpose. Things in nature didn't just happen, they happened for a reason. Plants send their roots into the ground for the sake of nourishment. Birds build nests to look after their young. Spiders weave webs to catch food. The same was true, he believed, for the way seeds or embryos develop. You can only understand the changes taking place in an acorn or an egg if you know its ultimate purpose. If Aristotle could have explained his ideas to other indigenous cultures around the world, it's likely they would have been receptive. Virtually all cultures at that time shared an understanding that a life force existed in every living entity, a spirit that impelled them to do what they did. Before hunting an animal or harvesting fruit from a grove, many indigenous peoples would ritually honor the spirit of the entity from which they took their sustenance. In ancient China, sages developed these indigenous insights into the categorization of the kinds of ki, or energy and matter, that existed in an organism. One kind was shen, the vital spirit that animated a living organism. Another was jing, the generative principle that was believed to emerge in an embryo at the moment of conception, driving its growth and the eventual reproductive energy. We'll never know exactly how early Chinese scholars would have interpreted Aristotle's theories in terms of shen and jing, but it's likely that his ideas would have made sense to them. This was not the case, however, for European thinkers in the wake of the scientific revolution. As we've seen, prominent thinkers such as Descartes and Hobbes laid the foundation for the mechanistic worldview that has since become ubiquitous in mainstream thought. If an animal were merely a machine, then by definition it couldn't have its own intrinsic purpose any more than it could have its own feelings. In the 17th century, those scientific pioneers still lived under a Christian worldview. So it was easy enough to attribute the seemingly purposeful activity of nature to a creator, who instilled purpose in a creator in a creature, just like a clockmaker instills the purpose of timekeeping into a clock. By the 19th century, when scientists were less willing to resort to theology for ultimate explanations, the problem resurfaced. How could you explain the obviously purposive behavior of living organisms? Some scientists theorized that creatures contained a life force, an élan vital, that worked according to specific laws like gravity or electricity. However, by the early 20th century, this idea, known as vitalism, had fallen into such disrepute in mainstream science that it had become an object of ridicule. Along with vitalism, any theory that living entities possessed intrinsic purposes, such as teleology, was discarded by mainstream science into the same pit of disdain that contained other heretical ideas that we've already come across, such as Lamarckian evolution, animal emotions, or plant intelligence, each of which has now been scientifically validated. For reductionist scientists, the primary challenge in refuting teleology was that living organisms so obviously demonstrate it in everything they do. When a spider tries valiantly to climb out of the bathtub, or when your dog paws at the door because she needs to relieve herself, it's only too clear that they're acting with purpose. However, with the widespread acceptance of the modern synthesis of the mid-20th century, biologists declared this challenge resolved. Everything could now be explained by natural selection operating on genes. According to eminent biologist Ernst Mayr, organisms only seem to behave according to teleology, but their behavior really owes its goal directedness to the operation of a program that contains not only the blueprint of the goal, but also the instructions of how to use the information of the blueprint. However, as we've seen, that mechanistic metaphor for life is fundamentally flawed.
Life didn't emerge according to blueprints and doesn't operate like a computer program. What does that mean for teleology? Could Aristotle have been right? Is life's purposive behavior not the result of a program? And if so, what really causes it? The book, The Web of Meaning, by Jeremy Lent, subtitled Integrating Science and Traditional Wisdom to Find Our Place in the Universe. Fees may apply, you may receive a... Picking up your calls, and Ray in Renton, Washington. Hey, Ray, what's on your mind?
Hey, Tom. Just first, I want to say thanks so much for your show. It's a tremendous public service and a daily dose of sanity that so many of us really appreciate. So thank you.
Thank you.
You're always looking for a bumper sticker. And if anyone saw Lawrence O'Donnell's show, he was quoting Rob Reiner text, which said basically that a vote for Republicans is a vote to destroy democracy. And I think that encapsulates the theme of what we need to get behind for this next election cycle, because it's outrageous what's going on.
I am absolutely with you, Ray. I did see that, actually. I'm in bed and asleep by the time Lawrence's show comes on, but Louise and I stayed up a little late and watched it, and I completely agree. And he did a great segment with it, so spot on. Thank you for that. Deb in Dudley, Massachusetts. Hey, Deb, you wanted to talk about Dr. Marty?
Hi, yes. I wanted to share with your listeners my experience with supplements. It's called Transfer Factor, and just so that people expand their thinking about taking care of their animals, Transfer Factor is classified as a food, and it's made of colostrum, and it's an immune booster. It's the component that transfers the immune information from the mother to the baby.
Mm-hmm.
I had rescued a shepherd mix who, I don't know, she's in her senior years, and she started bleeding clots, and my brought her to the vet, and she did blood work, and she said her platelets are extremely low. She probably has small cell carcinoma in her bladder. So we did a run of doxycycline, because sometimes it's a tick-borne problem, and 30 days later, she said there was no change, and it was actually lower. And I said, let's try Transfer Factor for 30 days, because I had been using it on rescue animals, because I do rescue work part-time.
Right.
So 30 days later, we did blood work, and her platelets were normal.
Wow.
We had a ultrasound, and there was no sign of cancer.
That's incredible. Deb, thanks for the call and the testimonial. Yeah, you know, I take supplements, too. I think there's something to it. I know that there was a big research study that was hugely publicized yesterday saying they don't work. I'm not buying it. Thanks so much for being with us today. We'll be back same time, same place. Get out there, get active. In the meantime, tag You're It. Have a great afternoon.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.